Greetings and shalom. This is Adrian Scott, and you're with me on Truth and Testimony, the broadcast. Welcome or welcome back. This is now time for another episode of Bible Break. And in this time, I'm going back to the Old Testament. Yes, I want to read Malachi chapter 3. This actually was a chapter that came up not too long ago in the nightly readings for my wife and I. And it really jumped out at me, and it's like, oh, I gotta share this one. So there's so many great things all over the Bible. I mean, the whole Bible, you can't go wrong. But there are those things that jump out. And eventually, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if I cover pretty much every chapter in every book of the Bible at one point or another. That would be nice if I could accomplish that. But in the meantime, we'll have to settle for Malachi chapter 3. I am going to kind of go to my older system where I will first read it, and then I will go back and kind of discuss it a little bit. One reason I do like to do that is because when I'm doing the straight reading, I'll put the text on screen as an overlay so that you can follow along with me. That's one reason I do like to do that. But also, as per kind of a Jewish custom, when they would do the Torah readings during Shabbat or at other services in the synagogue, they made a very clear distinction, and I always respected that. It's one thing I did like, where they would read the Torah, they would read the Tanakh, they would roll it up, put it away, go to a separate room, I believe, and then they would offer their commentary on what was read, because they wanted to make a clear distinction between God's word and their interpretation of it. So I've always kind of liked that idea. So as I go back and do my commentary, note that at that point, it is my commentary. It is my fallible opinion. And I don't think I'm wrong. If I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't be making a video about it. But I have to acknowledge that I'm not perfect, and I could be wrong. And I openly leave it an invitation to anybody that if you think I'm wrong, please feel free to comment down below. Send us an email. I will tell you that I will only accept the correction if you do it from scripture. If you just want to sit there and say how stupid I am and that I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't have a lot of time for you. But if you have some legitimate grounds for what you're saying in the Bible, I will totally hear you out, because I am always open to correction. I know that I'm human and that I can make mistakes, and I know that I don't know everything, right? What did one person say? There's the things we know, the things we know, the things we don't know, and the things we know we don't know. It's kind of three categories, and I'm definitely keenly aware of those latter two. Probably much bigger categories than the first one. So with that being said, let's say let's get into our reading of Malachi chapter 3. And I am reading from, it is traditionally one of my favorite versions to read. It is the Scriptures, the Institute for Scriptural Research, ISR 98 is the one that I generally read from. But that would be the version that we're tackling today. So Malachi chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, it reads, "See, I am sending my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the master you are seeking comes to his Hekal, his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, said Jehovah of hosts. And who is able to bear the day of his coming? And who is able to stand when he appears? For he is like the fire of a refiner, and like the soap of a launderer. And he shall sit as a refiner and a cleanser of silver. And he shall cleanse the sons of Levi, and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall belong to Jehovah, bringing near an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to Yahweh as in the days of old, as in former years. And I shall draw near to you for right ruling, and I shall be a swift witness against..." Oh. And I shall be a swift witness against the practicers of witchcraft, and against adulterers, and against them that swear to falsehood, and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, and widows, and the fatherless, and those who turn away a sojourner, and do not fear me, said Yehovah of hosts. For I am Yehovah, I shall not change, and you, O sons of Jacob, shall not come to an end. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my laws, and did not guard them. Turn back to me, and I shall turn back to you, said Yahweh of hosts. But you said, in what shall we turn back? Would a man rob Elohim? Would a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you said, in what have we robbed you? In the tithe and the offering. You have cursed me with a curse, for you are robbing me, this nation, all of it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and let there be food in my house. And please prove me in this, said Yahweh of hosts, whether I do not open for you the windows of the heavens, and shall pour out for you boundless blessing. And I shall rebuke the devourer for you, so that it does not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor does the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, said Yehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, said Yehovah of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, said Yahweh, but you have said, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is worthless to serve Elohim. And what did we gain when we guarded his charge, and when we walked as mourners before Yehovah of hosts? And now we are calling the proud blessed. Not only are the doers of wrongness built up, but they also try Elohim and escape. Then shall those who fear Yahweh speak to one another, and Yahweh listen and hear, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yahweh and those who think upon his name. And they shall be mine, said Yehovah of hosts, on the day that I prepare a treasured possession, and I shall spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wrong, between one who serves Elohim and one who does not serve him. All right, on that note, there is Malachi chapter 3. And as there usually is, a few things I would go back and kind of comment on. I wonder if perhaps right up in the first couple of verses, if the messenger he's talking about, this could be a messianic reference to Yeshua. He shall prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the master, maybe not the messenger, but the master, the master you are seeking comes to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, right? I can't say for sure, but I speculate that I think that's who we are referring to there, and who is able to bear the day of his coming and stand when he appears, for he is like the fire of a refiner. I don't think we're talking about Joe Schmo from down the street. This is somebody of extreme significance. Another interesting element was that he's going to cleanse the sons of Levi. Now, who are the sons of Levi? Those are the serving priests in the physical temple. I recently did a video where I was talking about the physical temple as opposed to the spiritual temple and the different priesthoods that would be required for both of those. So it almost sounds to me there like this spiritual priest is going to effectively cleanse the physical priests. He shall cleanse the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall belong to Yehovah, bringing near an offering in righteousness. So they're bringing offerings at that point. Interesting. It's what it says here. I'm not making this up. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant, as in the days of old, as it used to be in former years. And I shall be in verse 5 here, and I shall be a swift witness against the practicers of witchcraft, and against adulterers, and against them that swear to falsehood, basically liars, and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages. There's another part of scripture that says, it is your obligation, if you have hired someone to work for you, that you pay them at the end of the day. Because in many cases, at least in the culture back then, they needed that money to have dinner that night. If they didn't get paid, they didn't eat. And so it was a requirement by God that if they've worked for you and earned a salary, you give it to them on time. Now, verse 6 is a profound one. And I think this was the trigger for me that inspired me, to do this video. Because one of the things that I'm very outspoken about is I soundly reject the doctrine of replacement or replacement theology, which ties into the whole concept of dispensationalism. That used to be the people, they've been rejected and put aside, and now this is the people. I think that is flatly wrong. God has always said that Jacob, Israel, would always be his people, that they would be punished for their transgressions, but there would always be saved a remnant, and that in the latter days, in the end times, they would be restored and they would be brought back to their land, etc., etc. And in Jeremiah, I mean, there's a pretty significant line where he says, in the latter days, in the end times, I will make a covenant. I will make a new covenant or a renewed covenant, depending on how you look at the translation. But either way, I will make a new or renewed covenant with the house of Israel. They haven't been done away with. So this is a line that to me really hammers that point home. Verse 6, for I am Yehovah, I shall not change. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and always. He is Yehovah, he is Yahweh, right? And you, O sons of Jacob, Jacob, of course, is also Israel. If you remember, if you read through your Bible, he was one of the sons of Abraham, was originally Jacob, but was renamed Israel. So this is another way of saying Israel. And you, O sons of Jacob, shall not come to an end. Period. Move on to the next verse, but that's a pretty clear point. That may not come to an end, or, you know, we'll have whatever ever else. No, that's a clear, simple statement. Shall not come to an end. And then he clarifies, from the days of your fathers, you, Israel, Jacob, have turned aside from my laws and did not guard them. You were disobedient. You backslid. You went after other gods. You did all these wicked things that you shouldn't have been doing, right? Turn back to me, repent, and I shall turn back to you. Not I will think about turning back to you, or I may turn back to you if I'm in a good mood that day. No, turn back to me and I shall turn back to you. But I love the line right after that, which was verse 9. You have cursed me with a curse. You are robbing me, this nation, all of it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and let there be food in my house. And this is the part that I love. And please prove me in this. See if I'm not telling you the truth here, right? Please prove me in this, said Yehovah of hosts, whether I do not open for you the windows of the heavens and shall pour out for you a teeny tiny little bit of blessing. No, and I shall pour out for you boundless blessing. And I shall rebuke the devourer for you. For you. So that it does not destroy the fruit of your ground, etc., etc. And then to clarify, we're talking about the chosen people, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a land of delight. Not you might be a land of delight, or I'll consider making you a land of delight. You shall be a land of delight if. I've often said that probably the two most powerful words throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, are if and then. And by extension, if not, and then. So I say, if you do this, then fill in the blank. If you don't do this, fill in the blank again, but on the other side of it. But if and then, two of the most profound words throughout the Bible, found over and over and over again. I wouldn't even want to count how many times they're there. If and then, but they go together. And then the last two verses. And I mean, having covered the chapter, it's a good place to end at the end of the chapter. But verse 17 and 18, and they shall be mine, not may. They shall be mine, said Yehovah of hosts, on the day that I prepare a treasured possession. And I shall spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again see the difference between what? The righteous and the wrong. Between, now he's saying, clarifying, the righteous, one who serves Elohim, and the wrong, one who does not serve him. And that ends Malachi chapter 3. All of Malachi is quite interesting. I've often referenced one particular passage in there when it's one of my go-to lines in the Bible when he says, I have already told you, O man, what is good. And I'm paraphrasing here. But to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So he's just defined what is good right there in one little verse. I love that. That's God. That's Elohim. So on that note, I will wrap up the reading right there. I thank you all for tuning in. I do ask if you enjoyed the video, give it a thumbs up, share with others. And if you have not done so yet, subscribe and hit the notification bell so that you are notified every time Ray and I drop new content on the channel. And also a reminder, don't forget, if you're checking us out on YouTube or Rumble, that we do also have this available as an audio podcast. And likewise, if anyone is listening to this on podcast and you want to see our smiling faces, you can check us out on the channel of the same name on YouTube and on Rumble. With that being said, I just wish blessings to all of you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Lord. And I say have a great week and shalom and bye for now.
You've been watching Truth and Testimony, the broadcast. If you have a comment, please leave it on the bottom of this video or email us at truthandtestimonyemail@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Truth and Testimony, the broadcast, is not affiliated with Truth and Testimony magazine.